At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Baltimore, I'm coming home. We're going to wrap the Live and Alive tour up Saturday, June 28th at the Horseshoe Casino. It's going to be a great night. I got Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock going to be out there with me. We're going to have some surprises. It's going to be a really big deal. Get your tickets now at ryansickler.com. What's up, guys? Thank you for supporting the Patreon. We promised you guys some bonus content. We wanted to get you involved on the new tier. And after the Chelsea Lynn haircut thing, we were laughing so damn hard.
Oh, God! Okay.
Hold on. That's
where,
you?
Where the fuck did you get this? This is my Chris Farley era.
Kirsten and I started talking about it, and we were like, why don't we ask people to send in their worst haircuts? And I'm not going to leave you alone. All right, I got two of them for you. How about this one and this one? There you go. Those are mine. We'll clown them on the show. But submit your bad haircuts or your worst haircuts to the waybackpod@gmail.com. That's the waybackpod@gmail.com. Send your name and any information you have, what year it's from, where you're from at the time, whatever. We'll show the pictures. We'll have fun making fun of all our worst haircuts.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler. Thank you guys for supporting this show. Not just this show, anything I do. I don't care if it's sharing a clip or telling somebody about the show. Thank you for supporting me. And if you have to have more, then I tell you every week, you got to have the Patreon. It's $5 since the day it started. It's still $5. And it is this show with y'all. And y'all have the craziest stories on the internet. I promise you, it's the best show on Patreon. $5 a month, all right? And you already have hundreds of stories there to check out, all right? That's the biz. You guys know what we're doing here. We're highlighting the lowlights, and I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers, and I am very excited to have this guest here. First time on The Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen, Trey Crowder. Welcome to The Honeydew, Trey Crowder.
Hey, thrilled to be, thrilled and honored to be here.
That's very kind.
Told you, I'm a fan, man.
This is long overdue, for
yes,
real.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here. Before we get into your whole story, plug it all, brother. Anything yep. you'd like. You got a special. Yep. Tell everybody.
My most recent special is available on YouTube now called Trash Daddy. You can, other than that, you know, all the socials is just my name, T-R-A-E Crowder, and it's treycrowder.com for tour dates. I am perpetually touring. And then other than that, I got a couple podcasts. One of them is called Putting on Airs, where me and another hillbilly dip talk about fancy stuff, fancy people and fancy stuff.
Like, give me an example of what hillbillies think fancy stuff is.
Well, everything from like legitimate fancy stuff like Marie Antoinette and like okay. super yachts, you know, to like the little like that crumb scraper thing that they have
at the table. Yeah, oh,
that's super fancy, right? Yeah, right. But it's the type of thing that like the first time I saw that,
we all get one.
I was like, what the? It blew my mind. Yeah, you know? Yeah. I've never seen no shit like that before. But we divert into all kinds of other stuff too. But just we get a kind of a loose, you know, loose parameters of the show.
All
but
right.
But yeah, talking about fancy. So putting on theirs, Trash Daddy, TreyCrowder.com. That's the main things.
All right. Let's dive into your story. So originally you're from Tennessee in a small town called what?
Salina.
Salina.
If I showed it to you written down, you would almost certainly pronounce it Salina.
Okay.
Almost everybody does. In fact, we are probably the ones who say it wrong, I imagine. Everyone else is probably right. But since it's
like one asshole.
But since it's, you know, we're the ones that live there, we don't have to. But anyway, Salina, Tennessee, it's in Clay County. It's, 2 hours from any city you've ever heard of. There's no traffic lights. There's no McDonald's. It is the home of the world record smallmouth bass, by the way.
Is that right? What was it?
It was like 5 pounds, 8 ounces or something
that's
like that.
That's all?
Well, that's smallmouth bass.
I know, but I'm surprised. Bass. I know smallmouth got the horizontal stripes.
Yeah.
Is that right? Vertical on the fucking largemouth, horizontal on the smallmouth?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to get disowned for this, but I don't even remember. It's been too long. And I grew up, that's a big fishing lake, and I grew up fishing there, and I don't even.
I'm about to look it up. It's not just the mouth. I know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, small and large applies not just to the mouth, mm-hmm. but the entire fish. Mm-hmm. You know? I guess as the mouth goes, so goes the rest of the fish. I'm not a fish doctor.
Is there a sign that tells you at the lake?
Well, actually, I don't think we are anymore, but we all still just say that. But on the way into, not the lake, mm-hmm. like when you drive into welcome to Clay County, home of the world record smallmouth bass. There's not any
proud of that shit.
Dude, there's nothing else. And then as you get closer to the town, there's also like welcome to Salina, home of the
record.
I swear this is also a sign. Welcome to Salina, home of the 1992 and 93 National Marbles Champion. You know what marbles
hey,
is?
Man. Yeah, of course I know marbles.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's back to back. You got to celebrate that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got
a yeah, but what's funny about the fish thing is that it was weird because it's like it was on the sign in town and people were proud of it. But also, there was all this controversy about it that I think because this out-of-towner or perhaps even a Yankee was like came there and caught that fish. Mm. And so there were a lot of people in town who always said that record was illegitimate, that he like cheated, that he like – dropped a bunch of like mm-hmm. nuts and bolts and shit.
Yeah, I love you. I grew up with my dad watching Orlando Wilson. Yeah. And what's his name? Is it Jimmy Houston?
There was I remember the guy. He's a Vols fan. Bill Dance.
Bill Dance with the Tennessee hat.
Yeah, with the Tennessee hat. Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, but I don't. I probably got that number earlier wrong too, but it was always disputed there. And, but so it was like kind of like with a lot of things in the South, it was like there was both pride and shame about it, depending on who you talk to. But anyway, it was a very, very, very still is rural part of Tennessee and country as hell, but was like a nice, cozy, quaint little southern town when I was like a small child.
Now, is this a place where your parents were born and raised, or did they move here to raise your family? Like, from Knoxville or Nashville?
My dad's dad's dad, like for generations had been the same place. Yeah. I was like third generation to graduate from Salina High School. The only reason I wasn't fourth or fifth is because before that, they didn't go to high school or graduate high school.
I hear that. Yeah,
you know, my grandpa
middle school, you're like the sixth generation. Right,
yeah, high school, yeah. Yeah, it had been there for a long time.
Yeah.
If Ancestry.com and all that bullshit is to be believed, my sons are the first generation of my family to have not grown up in the South, in Tennessee and Kentucky, basically, for like hundreds of years.
Is that
like,
right?
Well, ever. When my family, ancestor first came over from England, it was to Virginia, and it's been below the Mason-Dixon line ever since for us until now my sons are growing up in godless California. But, you know.
And that's your dad's people?
Yes.
And what about mom?
She
also from that town?
Well, I know my mom's mom and her parents and all them are all also from there. So for at least two or three generations, they were there. My mom's dad was a long-haul truck driver, and he was originally from Texas, but he had like a whole other family in Indiana and shit. And then, he was very much a truck, you know. Like a hard living, whore banging truck driver guy.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Yeah. You know. But so he a bit of a raconteur and a vagabond.
What kind of truck did he drive?
I mean, I was too young. I mean,
did he own it, or was he just a hired gun and going out and driving?
Again, I don't
rigs?
Know. I used to ride around with him in it, and like the bed in the back of it and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And I always thought it was so cool. But I mean, I was a kid at the time, so I don't know I know what you're asking. Cause mm-hmm. I know that it's like there's owner operators and there's contractors and all that. I don't know how it worked with him. I just know that it was long haul. It was over the road. Like, he went out for, you know, multiple days or weeks at a time and would come back. And then my other grandpa owned the car lot. He had, like, built and raced stock cars in the 50s and 60s and shit. He had all these trophies in his basement and stuff. And my dad, his son, ran the video store in town, Crowder's Video. So I grew up in that. I grew up in, like, a 90s video store. So that part was pretty cool.
We talked outside. You said where was the video store?
It was in a converted single wide trailer. Okay. They put like wooden letters on the outside, painted white, just said Crowder's on it.
And where would he, like, back in a day like that?
Yeah.
Where the fuck is going? He getting the supply for the that goes in his trailer?
The cassette. So he had a few different places. There were definitely some dudes who, first of all, there used to be like a catalog. That was like the official, I guess it came from the studios or some kind of third party, but it was like the official way to get them. Mm-hmm. There was a catalog you could order cassettes of all the new releases from. And they were like very expensive because, you know, you buy them for whatever, $100 or whatever back then. Then you rent them, even new releases, for $2, $2.50 a night. So you got to get them out so many times to make your money back. He did that, but he also, there was in a somewhat larger nearby town, there was a larger video store that he would go and get like some older shit from them to fill up the back catalog or inventory, whatever. And there were definitely, I was just thinking about this recently, some dudes like with trunks full of
new releases.
Dudes would come by on like, would stop by and he'd go out in the parking lot and they'd pop the trunk and he'd get, you know, but I'll say this, they were not obvious. It wasn't like somebody holding a camcorder in a movie theater bootleg. Like, they looked legit, like on your TV, but they definitely were not legit. I guess they were legit tapes that the dude was sourcing illegitimate layers, but there was definitely something shady about it.
Some copies from a Blockbuster one or something.
Yes. Yeah, and he definitely did a lot of that too. And also there was a curtained room in the very back that kept the lights on in that fucking place, even with all the Baptists in, well, especially with all the Baptists in town.
Yeah.
But yeah, the porno with the big thick boxes. Remember those? You didn't bring the boxes to the front. The boxes had a little like paper tag underneath them that you pulled off the wall and carried that up front.
Oh, is that how you did it?
So that way you're not walking through the store with
a phone book size video case.
Backyard Sluts 9 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was all really cool. I loved all that shit. And then, but this was all supported by the main job center in town was an Oshkosh Bagosh factory.
Yeah.
The cute little overalls and shit. And then in 1996, I think it was when it finally, maybe 97, by the time it all went through and that factory left after NAFTA and moved to Mexico. Right. And I know sometimes people say it's like all the jobs went to Mexico and it's not really true, but in this particular instance, like, that factory literally went to Mexico.
Oh, so they didn't just close. They actually did move to Mexico.
They actually moved those operations to Mexico in the mid-90s.
And what would you say at the time of its height, how much of the town would you, of Salinas?
I think.
Salinas is Northern California.
Yes.
Salina. Were employed by that one factory.
I want to say it was like 250 or 300 people, I think, in the town, in a population of like 800, you know.
That's so a like quarter near, of the
yeah,
town.
I know, right. And I'm saying, and all those people, they ate lunch at my grandma's diner and they rented movies at my dad's place and all, and that's, it all kind of fell on that factory and it left. And I always say, like, at the exact same time, another huge thing happened. The jobs left forever, and the pills showed up for good at the same exact time in the mid-90s, because right when that happened is when Percocet and Oxycontin and all that came into rural America, especially like we're in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. This is like the epicenter of where that whole thing started. West Virginia, deep in the coal country is where it like started, but we're not far from coal country. Like, we were
the opiate, yeah, really coal thing. Country.
Yes, and it was very targeted.
Like where, West Virginia?
West Virginia, southeast that. Kentucky.
Why there?
Because
is that where they started prescribing there's a lot the of coal
people,
miners?
Yes, a lot of people in pain there.
Yeah.
A lot of people that are like—
did not know this.
Desperate and don't have a lot going on. It was a very concerted thing. I mean, that's why they got in all that trouble finally, after years and years, the big pharma companies, because like it was proven that like it was a very concerted effort on their part to like roll it out in places that people would be susceptible to it. And they also, they lied to the doctors who then lied to the people. Like, people were being told by their doctors,
it wasn't addictive.
It's a miracle drug. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got pain from manual labor. Well, you could take this with no repercussions. It's not addictive. You'll be fine. I mean, if your doctor tells you that, what the hell are you supposed to think? And then we all know now, you know, you end up toothless and sucking dick under overpasses and shit. But they didn't know that.
I'm paid free, though. Paid free, bro.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, they are, you know.
My knees don't do hurt at all.
They do feel good.
Down here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But, like, all that, the confluence of those things happening in my town just, like, I mean, wrecked it. Like, by the time I graduated, I was like 10, 11 at that time. By the time I graduated high school, 7, 8 years later, like, all my family's businesses were closed. My mom was hooked on pills and was in jail, I think, when I graduated high school, because she wasn't just doing them, she was selling them too. She was selling pills.
How old are you when your mom gets arrested and goes to jail?
The first time I was like high school age. She went to jail a few times.
Okay. The first time? Always pills? Was it always for that?
Always selling pills, yeah.
And who's catching her? Is it just such a small town? It's like
local cops. She wasn't the most. Yeah. She wasn't exactly a like kingpin or queenpin or nothing. You know, but she wasn't Emilio Perez or whatever the hell.
Twos here and there, or got her arrested though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like the, yeah. I mean, it was just her. She had, because they were giving the shit out like candy. Mm-hmm. So my understanding of her operation, as I've gotten older, talking to her and looking back on it, is that, you know, allegedly all this. Well, actually, I guess not. She was convicted, I think, of all of it. But anyway, so not allegedly.
Public
but anyway,
records.
Anyway, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you find the newspaper. But she had a collection of old ladies who she sold pills for. She didn't steal them. They knew she was doing it. Because, like I said, they were giving these pills out like candy. She found a bunch of old people who had way more than they needed or used
or
wanted.
Mom found a group of seniors that was like, you know what?
I don't need all these.
Why don't you?
And she would like, I'll give you this much for them. And then she'd sell them for that much or whatever. And it's like, so, but still it was a pretty, pretty rinky dink operation. You know, it's just, I don't know the actual numbers or anything, but again, she wasn't moving serious weight, but she was pretty brazen with it and everything. And like, definitely the type to tell a cop to kiss her fucking ass, you know, and that type of shit. So, you know, I'm not surprised that she got caught. But her and my dad were already divorced, actually, before any of that even happened. But still, she was working at the factory and everything was cool and all that. But then, yeah, then everything just went to shit in the town and in
so
my family.
So she was employed at Osh.
Yes.
Bagosh.
Yes. And in fact, the story that she tells, and I mean, you know, I shouldn't say it that way. I'm sure it's what happened. You know, there's obviously some history here with... She says a lot of things, but I believe this is probably true, that she hurt her back while working at that factory in the year or so before it closed or whatever, and she went to a doctor after hurting her back working at the factory who prescribed her oxys and said to her all the shit that, you know, we said earlier, and then that was the beginning of it for her, and then it turned into a 15, 20-year thing. But it wasn't just her.
That's what I want to ask. Anyone else in your family?
Oh, yeah. Sister, my aunt, got into it real bad. She died.
She died.
My aunt's oldest son, my first cousin, who was like my older brother growing up, he OD'd and died.
He died?
Yeah.
Can I ask you, is this fentanyl or are they really...
Back then, when all this is happening, this is pre-fentanyl. It's literally oxys and perks and shit.
Then.
Yes, yes.
See, because I have a problem with these people that say, well, they overdosed on fentanyl. It's like, no, they were poisoned. This person set out to do cocaine,
regardless of the choice, they
set out to do this drug, and in that drug is poison that has killed them. That, to me, is not an overdose. You know what I mean? I feel sorry for people.
I have a good friend who that happened to, too, in the past year, and that was awful in a totally different situation. All these people I'm naming, this is like childhood, teenage years for me. This is like a long time ago. So back then it was literally ODing on Percocets and Oxys and that type of shit.
How old was your cousin, you said?
He was 5 years older than me and he died. So he was probably, I think I was like 22 when he ODed and died. So he was like 27-ish or something.
Damn, and you're close.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, he's the reason I'm a Raiders fan. So I'll never forgive him for that shit. But
You should have let that die with him.
I know. You're right. I know. I don't know why it's that stuck.
Man, is that fuck you up?
Which part? What, him dying?
Him, not only that, like, is this, because I mentioned outside, we have the, in our family, we had a paranoid schizophrenic cousin. And my dad would tell us all the time, like, this dude, it was a black belt. He was athletic as fuck. He was great at lacrosse. He had offers from Syracuse. And then he just got into drugs and it fucking unlocked some shit in his brain and poof, he's fucking crazy. And we had sort of a built-in just say no to drugs campaign in the family. So I never fucked around with any of that shit. Even still, I'm still weed and shrooms. I don't fuck with them. Never fuck with coke. Even when they gave me the pills for pain meds, I don't take them. I might get a refill once every year and a half, and they're for emergencies only. You know, like, I don't like them. So,
sure.
Do you ever get involved with it, or does this help you stay off of it?
I mean, I guess sort of, but then yes, meaning like one time when I was 18, I almost did. I just told Fitzsimmons this story too, but I had my wisdom teeth cut out when I was 18, and like there's no oral surgeons in my hometown, so there was literally these dentists who would come through in a van, like a cover band or something. Dude. I swear to God, you have to wait for the dentist van to come through town. I swear to God,
and you didn't even make an appointment.
You just meet in the parking
lot.
We'll
be there next
Thursday. Rite Aid parking lot. Yeah, Rite Aid parking lot every third Thursday. Dentist. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. But no. You made appointments, I swear to God, they're traveling dentists.
Like, no one decided, let's just open one here.
Okay. Again, there was a town dentist, but she was not an oral surgeon. She wouldn't cut out your wisdom. So, like, that or for any kind of procedures like that, it was the.
It was a van.
Yes, right. And the thing is, it was exactly as upstanding of an operation as that sounds like it was, which is to say that, like, did you ever have your wisdom teeth cut out?
I did, yeah.
Okay, do you know how I've since learned? Do you know how they, like, when that happens, they'll give you all this information on what to do and what not. Don't drink through a straw. Mm-hmm. Don't smoke a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Don't do all, you'll get dry sockets. You'll get infected. None of that. They didn't tell me none. I didn't get a pamphlet, nothing. No tips and tricks, not shit. So within
no wisdom.
Yeah, right. Well, they're taking your wisdom teeth out. Yeah. It wouldn't make sense to give you wisdom after taking the wisdom teeth out. They should take wisdom away from me, which they tried to, by also giving me a big, big bottle of pills, right?
They have pills,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, dude, this time, also, my tiny little town at this time had four pharmacies in it, which is crazy. There's no reason.
For 800 people?
Yeah, I swear. And, like, they were.
That's ridiculous. Dude,
people don't understand. I mean, it was everywhere. And I'm saying again, I didn't even ask them for
Are
it.
Are all your friends and their parents
many of them,
shit?
Yes. I'm saying my family got ripped apart, but that was the story of the town at the time. It happened to almost everybody, mm-hmm. like literally almost everyone. One of my best friends growing up, his dad like died on the table twice and was resuscitated.
Damn.
And shit. And I had multiple good friends in high school who got real hooked on it themselves bad. Some of which have since died. Some of which are still hanging on, but are real fucked up. I mean, people's parents were showing up to fucking ball games, like Walking Dead style, just like toothless, stumbling around and shit. I mean, it was wild. And so I'm at the van dentist, and they give me no guidance and a big bottle of pills.
They take all four out, by the way? Two first, or how are they doing it?
They took them all out, but my little sister was there on the same day, you know, efficiency.
Yeah, sure.
And they left like parts of one of them in her mouth.
Nah.
She had to go to a different dentist, not in a van, in a nearby like big town to cut out the last remaining piece of one of her wisdom teeth. That happened to her. Mine got infected within like a week.
What did you do? Just everything?
Yeah,
because they didn't tell you.
Yeah,
they
didn't. Yeah, right.
Dip in and everything.
Yeah.
Look at everything. Yeah.
But so it got because it got infected.
Yeah.
I was in pain for longer than I should have been, mm-hmm. and they gave me way more pills than I needed. But I got that worked out, and by the time I still had plenty of pills left in that bottle. By the time that was completely resolved, and I just kept taking them, right? Cause it's like, well, I'm supposed to take these once a day or twice a day or whatever. But I knew, you know, I was taking them and playing NFL 2K5 on the Xbox and stuff and really digging it. And but I wasn't admitting to myself that I was doing that. And this is only a looking back on it thing. And this was what's so wild about drugs and especially opioids and shit. Is like in the moment, I didn't see any of this. But because I got a pillbilly mom and a pillbilly cousin, a pillbilly everything. And so I'm like, I don't want to, but the doctor gave me these for my tooth thing and it says to take them. So I don't think anything about it. Then I run out and I go to another cousin's house. I have a cousin also named Trey. So white trash we are. But I go to my cousin Trey's house. And
who's older?
Everybody always asks that. He's older, but his middle name is Trey. Okay. Right, my first name is Trey. So he's older than me by barely a year.
Yeah.
And his name is, you know, blank Trey blank. Mm-hmm. And then a little more than a year later, my dad named his son me Trey, you know, Neil Crowder. So, I mean, look, my dad's the one who fucked up. The other one came first. But I feel like there's at least a little bit of gray area.
Yeah, there is.
Because it's his middle
legit
name.
Legit first name.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but anyway, go to my cousin Trey's house because his dad has like a lot of, and a legitimate one. His dad was a good guy, is a good guy. Had back surgery, had a back problem, right? And I knew that. And I knew, like anybody with any kind of problem, they'd given him a bunch of pills. So I go to my cousin Trey's place and I'm like, hey, you know where your dad keeps his pills? And he was like, yeah, but why? And I was like, I thought we'd just, you know, grab a couple, play Halo, whatever. And he was like, are you fucking serious? And I was like, what? You know, and he was like, I'm not stealing my dad's pills. I'm not letting you steal my dad's pills. And I was like, dude, why are you being a dick about this? Like, they're right there. It's fine. He's not going to use them all. It's not a big deal. Like, in my head, he was being an asshole, you know, not me. But he wouldn't do it, and I'm glad he wouldn't do it, because then I got all pissed off, but I didn't have any of them, any more lying around. And a couple days later, yeah, I'm over it and realizing how crazy. So it was like, I'm not saying that I would be sucking dick under an overpass right now.
Yeah.
I could have been
pain-free.
If not for cousin Trey. Yes, yeah, possibly. All right. So I almost got sucked into it too briefly.
So but you that's could the see only... and understand just how easily.
Yeah, it can happen like fucking that.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're also.
And it does. I mean, it's across the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This country is really fucked up.
No, I have a real.
These bastards fuck these poor people up.
Real bad. And yeah. I have a complicated relationship with drug addicts and that type of thing because my mom, you know, wasn't around and wasn't great. And we still don't have a great relationship. And I have empathy and shit now, but like when I was younger, I was hardcore, like, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Fuck those people. I grew up around it. I'm not a drug addict. I got a job. I'm not fucking whatever.
Like, there's not a person listening that doesn't have a person in their family or a friend or someone they know that didn't have this happen to them or
right.
Someone's addicted. I've got cousins who, and they start, that's how it starts. So it starts with the pills and the scripts run out and then it turns into the heroin
right.
And blah, blah, blah. It's the same path
yeah.
All the fucking time.
Yeah, but as I got older and I had kids and stuff, I mellowed on it. It's like, again, and I think back and yes, I can see how easily it can happen to somebody who really is otherwise. And especially when I found out all the shit about the way the
pharmaceutical companies. And all they were doing was just trying to get their teeth out in a van.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I didn't know all, when I, as an adult, learned all the shady ass shit that like the pharmaceutical companies and doctors and sales reps and stuff were 100% doing back then. It kind of changed the way I looked at a lot of it. It's like, oh, a lot of these people were
duped,
were victims.
We
were actual victims. Yeah.
Whereas I used, poison, drug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I used to look at them as like criminals, you know. But
can
I
ask you
anymore.
Then, if mom's in and out of jail here and there or in and out of your life, and are you living with dad?
Yeah.
Then who's the rock?
My dad.
Are you with your dad? Is that where you live?
Me and my little sister live with our dad full
time.
Oh, you
both? Okay.
And he was great. But you said who's the rock? And really the rock of the family was his dad, my grandfather.
Okay.
We lived with my dad full time, but like the patriarch of the family was my grandpa.
He's a
my
good
dad's
man.
Dad. Oh yeah. Great. I mean, you know.
What did he do again?
He was the guy who had used to do build and race stock cars and then became
cars,
a big gearhead
right.
And he like had a garage, he fixed cars and he sold cars and he worked on cars.
You said he
all
had
the
a
time.
Car lot.
Car
did he,
lot.
Did he have a little bit of a junkyard too? So I grew up in a junkyard. Or was it like used cars?
It was used cars and also a garage where he did work and he'd do body work and stuff like that.
Okay.
But he was a big time gearhead. Mm. And very much a like traditional, like strong southern working man, you know, he smoked a pack a day, drank a bowl of whiskey a night. He had a bit like a Pyrex mixing bowl that he would fill up with.
Bowl?
Yes, with the
I thought originally you meant like a sifter.
Like a Pyrex mixing bowl that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got a handle on it for like pancake batter or whatever. He'd fill that up with ice and like whiskey.
Get the fuck out of here. That's what he tried. Night?
At night.
Wow.
Because I would stay with him and I'd ask, because, you know, again, I told you, I remember if we started or not, but I was a fat kid and he put Coke in it, you know, and I just thought it was a big bowl of Coke. And, you know, I'm sitting there like fucking licking my lip, like, ooh, I want some of that sweet, sweet elixir, Papa. And he was like, no, that's got Papa's medicine in it, baby. And I didn't know what that meant until years later, and I found out it was whiskey and Coke in a in a pancake batter bowl every night. So, you know,
every night.
So,
dude.
So he died of a massive heart attack when I was 18.
How old was he?
He was 69. Nice, but yeah. And at the time I was 18, he was at the time I was like, yeah, he was ancient. Of course, he died.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean?
My grandma was 69,
but like now I realize, like, you know, that's
nothing.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Go back to being a fat kid when you were young. Is
sure.
is that your way of coping with all this fucking craziness and stuff?
I guess,
or what?
Probably.
What are you doing?
I definitely. Well, also, people don't understand. I think the bigger part of it is like, dude, there's no nutritional education or knowledge whatsoever. People don't understand anything about how like food or health works or calories or nothing. Nobody knows anything about any of that. And that's another thing too. It's like that used to kind of be okay when like my grandpa was younger and stuff, because food didn't have all this bullshit in it. And it wasn't like, it wasn't as bad for you as it is now.
Go out in the backyard and get it.
That's what I'm saying. So like they didn't have to know. But then food became mass produced and all this bullshit got put in it and all the sugar and all this stuff. And but nothing changed about what people knew about it. They didn't understand how bad a lot of this shit was. So like I just ate, I mean, garbage as a kid. I mean, I had like one of my grandmas were great cooks and stuff, but even the stuff they cooked was, you know, I mean, like fried chicken and chicken livers with gravy and all this, you know, just like soul food stuff that was like not great for you. And other than that, we're talking with a single dad, dude, canned chili, frozen pizzas, fries, whatever. It's like a watershed moment for me, like that I'll never forget as a fat kid and everything. I was getting into high school. I was going through puberty. I'm still fat and it's really starting to bother me at this point. Right? It's bothering me already, but I'm saying I like girls and stuff now. And it's like, I don't like being fat. I had basically not entirely stopped eating, but I was eating like once a day. I was barely eating anything and I still wasn't losing weight. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then one day I came home from school and I did what I did every day when I came home from school. I grabbed the big bottle of Sunny D, off-brand Sunny D in the fridge and took a big, you know, plug off of it.
Sunny E, what do you got down
there? It was like, you know, orange D-Light or whatever.
Yeah.
Morning D-Light, I don't know, but it was not legit Sunny D. But anyway, I take a big swig of it, put it back. And this time, the back of the bottle's facing me. And I'm like, I go to close the door, and I'm like, wait, what? And I look at it, I'm like, what the fuck? I had no idea that liquid could have calories in it. I had no idea that drinks could make you fat. Mm-hmm. I thought as long as you drank it, it didn't count. It was fine.
Yeah. It's just a liquid.
Yeah, it's a liquid. Food makes you fat. Liquids don't make you fat. And I realized that day, and I immediately stopped drinking everything but water. And I also that summer had like
did that help? I mean, was that a big part of it?
I stopped drinking everything but water. And that summer I had a growth spurt of like 5 or 6 inches and I lost like 40 something pounds or
something like that.
And I haven't been the same type of like pudgy ass little fat kid that I was then ever since. My weight is yo-yoed, but in kind of like a fat dad way, you know, but like that was the end of my like, I looked like a white Manny from Modern Family.
You were big?
Oh yeah.
You were, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, big old boy. And like a dork, too. I was like the smart kid. And so.
What's it like? Tell me what it's like living with dad growing up. And is mom like floating in and out, you say? Like, will she come by and visit or do you guys go see her? It's such a small town. Are you like, are you walking distance?
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
No, we were not. No. It was one of those things because she was on drugs and stuff. I don't know where she was for most of it. There was a good period of time. Again, my mom's still alive. Someone will probably send her this. She'll text me about putting her on Front Street, but that's what she calls it. Yeah. But
you don't talk on a regular
basis? No, we text and stuff like that. Yeah. But, it's my story. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to tell it, and it is all true. So there was a good chunk of my childhood where I really only saw her if she showed up to, like, see if I had any money or something she could sell or something like that. So it was almost entirely our dad. My dad drank and smoked too, but he was always home, and he was like everybody loved my dad. Everybody wore jean jackets, had long hair, loved rock and roll and all that shit. And like, he was awesome. So like, now that I have kids, really my dad was more of like a bro than a father. Like, he was, mm-hmm. he loved the shit out of us, but he was not a disciplinarian, is what I'm saying. Like, he was, my dad was showing me like Eraserhead when I was 9 and shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that type of thing. Yeah. Like, he would, and then get upset that I didn't like connect with the artistry of it or whatever. It's like, I'm in fourth grade or whatever. But the upside of that was also like, you know, the Die Hard movies. And like, if I wanted a DMX album or something that had the, you know, the explicit lyrics on it, like, yeah, he would get me that because he was like, censorship's bullshit, son. That's what he always said. Censorship is bullshit. But like, so he was like real cool about a lot of stuff, which was rad. But like I said, he wasn't like, you know, he wasn't any kind of like sitcom dad or nothing like that. We weren't like really sitting down having serious talks about life or like straightening me out or nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I mean, don't get me wrong. I think 100% be sucking those underpass dicks if not for my dad. Like, me and my sister both agree that our dad is the reason we, you know, turned out relatively okay.
Then who's giving you that? If you're not getting it from dad, where are you picking it up?
Picking what up?
What he's not giving you, say, as a dad. Like, is that from your grandfather?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, where's the rest of that?
My grandpa, who died when I was 18, he was definitely the authority figure. So, yeah, that was coming from him.
He's a bit of a disciplinarian.
Yeah, and then after he died when I was 18, and I turned 18 because of everything with the factory and all the everything closing, like, I've been completely financially independent since.
Have you?
I turned 18. I had nobody.
Same, I could ask
anybody
too,
for
yeah.
or turn to or had no safety net or nothing. And that, you know, that shit will just make you grow up, you know, like a lot of things that just made me grow up fast, basically. So like, I don't know where I get all of it from. You just, whatever, life, live life, bad yeah, shit happens. And you're also in a position where
instilled in you about being a good person. You know what I mean?
Again, my dad, he was very like loving, you know, a lot of dads of that generation would not went in like hugs or saying, I love you and
walk
shit.
Walk it off generation.
Yeah. No, he was not like that at all. He would, you know,
you're good.
Yeah. He was not that guy. He would like, I'm saying he was not like he was, but he would dole out hugs all the time and tell you how much he loved you and all that stuff. And like, and he was also because I grew up in a video store. I knew I wanted to do this Hollywood shit it's all I ever really wanted to do. And like, my dad's dad, my grandpa, because I was a smart kid in school, he wanted me to be like a doctor or lawyer or that type of thing, because that's all you do if you're smart.
Somebody
needed
to be a goddamn dentist in that fucking town, bro.
Right. But so when I would say I wanted to do like, you know, comedy or movies or something, my grandpa would be like, absolutely not. You're throwing away, you know, you're smart. You got a golden ticket. You're throwing it away doing that stupid bullshit that nobody does. But my dad was always like very, very supportive of it and thought it was awesome, like a good idea. So he was just, you know, he was just very loving and cool, basically. He was just a really good guy. Like I said, dude, I mean, like everybody loved him. When my dad died a few years ago, like I had to.
Did you know it was coming?
Sort of. So he died of pancreatic cancer, which is like the most brutal shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, there ain't not much else like it. So, I mean, he found out something was wrong with him I want to say a little before Thanksgiving, and he died on January 10th.
Damn.
Yeah.
So that's a couple about months. 6 weeks.
Yeah. Holidays, too. Six of the best weeks for someone to get cancer and die. But
damn.
Yeah. But when that happened, I was working my old day job. I had a newborn baby and a 1 year old. And I already said, there's nobody else with any money. No one else to. So I know I'm going to have to make payments on this funeral or whatever I got to do. So we make the arrangements to do the thing. And I know it's going to be on me, even though I don't have no extra money at all. And I go in the office after it's over and ask the funeral director, like, you know, what do I owe you? And he goes, you don't owe me anything. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, everybody in town like pitched in and covered it. How so nice you don't owe us anything. And so it's like,
they all did dad, like your dad.
My dad was just like that kind of dude. Like everybody loved him.
That's great.
So yeah, he's the hero and savior or whatever. And so summarily, that's why God had to kill him. But anyway.
It's always the goal with brother.
Yeah, I know.
When does mom or does mom clean up?
Somewhat. Yeah. Yes. I say somewhat. As far as I know, according to her, and I do believe her, she's not been on, like, she has not been actively on drugs for, probably close to 15 years now.
Okay.
But she's still got other issues.
But would she come to graduation? Was she making major events for you? Like, were you an athlete? Was she coming to sporting events? Anything?
Well, that was part of the fat kid stuff. I was like, I played sport in a town like mine, like small southern town. If you don't play sports, you got no shot. Like socially, I mean. So I like all my friends were the guys on the. I played. I was not a good athlete. I wasn't good at the sports, but I did play them because you had to. And not being good at them, like at the time, I'm glad no genie came to me or nothing. Because at the time, I would have traded like my brain, my intelligence for athleticism. Mm-hmm. Like at a single A high school level, athleticism. Yeah, right. Exactly. I would have traded it overnight. I would have been like, absolutely. But obviously, that would have been a colossal mistake. But she just wasn't really around. I can't really remember if she was at my high school graduation or not. She was at my college graduation for sure, and she was at my wedding, which my wife was like.
Was she sober
about.
Then?
Yeah. She was like fresh out of another stint in jail when we got married. Because I remember my wife was like really worried about it. You know, she was like, is she going to cause a fuck? What's going to happen? Because she was like coming straight from jail to the fucking, you know, the wedding venue.
Bro, for real?
I mean, not literally, but very close to it. It was like that week. Yeah, I think my wife tried to get it in under the wire, like trying to schedule to where she
couldn't. Why
we get
married on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because his mama gets out on Thursday. Yeah. I never really thought about that, but I think maybe she was trying to do that. I don't know. But anyway. So that's also, you know, when we got married, my wife was obviously pregnant, white trash, right? So that's my first baby. And she was getting out of jail. She's getting out of jail. My wife's pregnant. She's getting out of jail. I'm getting married. And my soon-to-be wife is pregnant. All this is happening. So I told my mom at the time. We had like a conversation at the time. And she was like, I'm clean. I'm going to stay clean and all this. And again, she has. It's just there's still other issues there. That's not the only thing. But to her credit, she has stayed clean. Yes. So
what was she in jail for that time again? Selling
all the same thing every time. Yeah.
Who's busting her? Like how sloppy is she?
I'm not gonna say like the local like.
Do you know?
Yeah. I know the dude's. I'm not gonna say his name, but I know the guy's name. He was like a sheriff's deputy who later became a sheriff and all this shit. Like just a small town cop.
And is
guy.
He buying from her, like setting her up, or is he just watching?
He's
her
just
do
watching
it.
Her.
She's just doing it right.
Yeah,
in front.
Yeah, right. He's sitting there in the squad car. Yeah, like it lights her on and everything.
Yeah,
he's like Paula, don't Paula.
Paula, come on.
Yeah, are you really doing this, Paula? But yeah, no. I mean, yes, it was pretty much like that because she would be. Fucked up while doing this too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like she was selling them and was taking them, so she'd be fucked up while doing it. And so, you know, again, it wasn't hard.
Is she any... Well, you know what? Let me go back to this question.
God, first. She's going to kill me over this part if she does watch this. Because she of course, claims that, you know, there was a lot of... And, fuck the cops. I'm small-town redneck. I don't fuck with cops. She claims that they, like, you know, fucked with her some, that there was some railroading that happened. And I'm not saying that none of that didn't happen, but I'm just also saying that she was doing the things too.
Right, yeah. She's not exactly innocent.
They might have trumped it
you
up or whatever and
target,
treated her like shit. And
those
aren't
my pills.
Yeah, right.
These are my pills.
Yeah, right, yeah.
That's how I know y'all set them in there.
So, I'm not saying they didn't do some untoward things, but she definitely was like, I mean, she was guilty.
I want to come back to asking about her as a grandma for a second. But before, I think you said before your dad passed, you had a newborn. Were both your kids born then?
Yeah, they're 13 months apart.
Did he get
barely
to see
him?
Did he get
Irish
the whole
twins?
Your kids? His grandkids.
The first one.
First one.
Yes. He got to tell him he was going to be a grandpa, and he was fucking thrilled. Mm-hmm. And yeah, my son was a baby. He was there when he was born. Mm-hmm. He held him, hung out with him and stuff the first year of his life. His younger brother, my second son, was only 2 weeks old when he died. And he had fucking RSV. He was in the hospital. I had a newborn in the hospital. My dad was dying of cancer at
the
same time.
So he never got to see?
Not the second one.
But he was alive for it.
They were alive on Earth at the same time.
You have another grandson?
Yes, yes,
okay,
yes,
good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good. So yeah. he was there for the news.
Yes. And that's when, because like we didn't, I mean, obviously shotgun wedding, it wasn't planned, but I wouldn't change anything about it. Even if like, you know, having kids, especially for a comedian and also my generation, that's an early age. I was 25 to have a kid, but like I wouldn't change anything about it for any reason. But one of the reasons is because, you know, my dad got to be a grandpa or whatever before all that shit went down. So, you know.
Is your mom involved in your kids' lives? Is she a grandmom in any way? Does she want to be? What is that situation like?
She sends them birthday cards and she'll text me to, you know, tell them I love them and that type of thing. But like, I mean, to be, she still lives back in Tennessee. We live in California now. But even when we go home, she sees them for a few hours, like, every other year, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we'll go back more than that.
She's not trying to FaceTime or any of that?
No, well, okay. Also, on as far as that goes, she's like, I mean, she's broke as hell living it. There's where she lives out in the country in a holler, there's like no, I don't think she's got any Wi-Fi, barely has cell phone service. I don't think her phone, she's still rocking like a flip phone. I don't know if it's literally a flip phone. I don't think she has FaceTime or any of that type of shit. She don't have none of that available to her. Mm-hmm. So, to be fair. But yeah, but we're currently, she's upset with me currently because I've on another recent thing I was on, I told the truth about her and somebody got back to it. It's like, I'm still in the small town, you know, people like
you don't have cell service, but you listen to every goddamn podcast.
Yeah, well, they want to, someone will see this and someone will send it to her and then I'll have to hear about it later, but that's okay. It's fine. I mean, again, I wrote about it in my book and all kinds of shit. So she knows the deal at this point, or she should. Yeah. I know. It's a lot. I know. Sorry, Ben.
A lot, but you're good.
I know.
That's what this show is.
I know it is. I know. Again, like I told you, I'm a fan, so I knew that, but I've still been feel like I've been going overboard.
No,
here.
You're not at all, dude. I just want to make sure I don't interrupt. I get yelled at if I fucking step on a question and shit. I do want to know just now as a father, like, how has that affected you? Like, do you find yourself being maybe overprotective, or do you find yourself being a little bit of a helicopter parent, or are you dialed back, or you, you know, you have boys.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing that in California?
I'm definitely, even though I was being kind of critical earlier when I talked about my dad, now he wasn't much of a disciplinarian. I'm fucking just like him. Like, you know, me and their mom are still married. We've been married for 15 years. She is. Also, I'm a comedian and I'm on the road quite a bit and everything. She's a stay-at-home mom, but like she's definitely like she's the disciplinarian of the two of us. And I'm like, hey, y'all want to watch Alien tonight? Like I'm, you know, kind of like my dad. Like she just left for a few days recently and I was like, is it time to introduce him to Quentin Tarantino?
How old are they?
12 and 13. I was like, I know, just I didn't, but I was like, She takes a yearly trip, and I was like, maybe next year. And if not next year, definitely the year after that, it'll be time. But, yeah, that's the type of shit I think about. So, like, I kind of turned into my dad for sure. But, I mean, we have a great relationship, and I don't – and they're also they're great boys.
Are you honest and open with them about your family and the struggles and the addiction so that they – because today, in their world, these poor kids, it's literally – it's on – I'm glad I see it on city buses. I tell my daughter all the time, this much, dead.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes. No. Yeah. They know. And
we never had to worry about that.
Right. Well, I mean, I kind of did.
Well, yeah, I'm 52.
Not fentanyl.
I'm saying in the 80s.
Yeah.
Nobody was worried about dying from cocaine unless you did too much fucking cocaine. Not.
Yes.
Oh,
no.
It's poisoned.
Right. No, dude. The fent shit is the worst thing that has ever happened as far as any of that goes. Because, yeah, you're right. It's like it's not fair. And it's stupid. I mean, none of that was fair, but this is way worse. Because of what you said earlier, if a guy wants to buy a little bag of Coke and go out for the night, whatever, who am I to judge?
That's
and
their
if
business,
some asshole
whatever.
Puts fent in it, then it kills that guy. I mean, that's
or
not
two
that's
people
complete.
Could be. Yeah, right. whoever's touching
no,
that.
No, that's
Coke.
A whole other ball game that is definitely way worse. And you're right. We didn't have to worry about that. The only way it was going to get you is if you were stupid about it and did too much. Those used to be the rules. Now, that ain't even a rule anymore.
That's right.
You can be smart about it.
You can have
and
barely
still
any
die
and still
of it. Yeah,
die.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No. It's
you
a shame.
You can be responsibly do your cocaine and still fucking die.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is some bullshit. But no, I'm open with them about the past and the history of it there. I used to wonder, it's like whenever it would come up, if I was telling them at too young and of an age, because, you know, they would. I remember one time I was talking to them about it and I got finished like talking about my dad and this whole thing or whatever. My son, who was probably 6 or 7 at the time, goes, "Your family's sad, Daddy." And I said, "Well, guess what, buddy? That's your family too.
Our family is sad.
Our family is sad." Yeah, right.
Kids, man, they fucking just figure out a way to kill you, dude.
Yeah, yep.
Now, are you honest with them about your mom and who she was as a mom?
Yes.
And you know what I mean? I'm the same way with my daughter. I'm like, look, you have an opportunity to be a different person as a grandmother, but you can't erase who you were as a mom.
Yes.
And I'm going to let your granddaughter know when she asks questions. I'm not going to lie to her.
Right.
I'm going to tell her the truth. But it's an opportunity, I always say, for my daughter to, when I say these stories, for her to be like, that's not the grandma I know at all.
Yeah, right.
Or you can be like, yeah, it makes sense. She seems exactly like
well,
that.
Well, see, now apparently that type of thing, I guess, does happen. Again, it hasn't really happened with my mom, not so far. But like my mom always used to say about her mom, my mama cat, that's what we call her, that maternal grandmother, mama cat, cooked the best catfish you ever had in your fucking life. But
is that why they called her mama cat?
No, her name was Cat. That's just a coincidence.
All right.
She owned the diner that I mentioned. She owned, oh, dude, it was so good.
I love
catfish and hush puppies. It was called Cat's Cafe. It was another casualty of the factory closing. But anyway, my mom always told us about Mama Cat, her mother, that we didn't have the same person that she did growing up. That like she always said that as a mom, my grandma was like, was never around, partied all the time, was always gone, whatever. But like we all fucking adored her.
Yeah,
right. As a grandma, we adored her. Now, I mean, it was a different time and a different place. She'd smoke 2 packs of Marlboro Reds with all the windows fucking closed in a 600 square foot apartment, you know, or like looks like a fucking 1920s bookie operation in there. Just a cloud of fucking smoke, like child's forehead high in the throughout the whole apartment. But we adored her. She was like just the absolute fucking best. And you know, apparently as a parent, not so much, but as a grandparent, she was the shit. So, you know, it is a thing. It's like they get a second chance at it.
Yeah, and then they lean into it.
Right.
They actually lean in.
Yeah,
you know what? I am going to fucking go for this.
Right.
Not just coast along or be whatever. What about your wife's family?
Oh, they're angels.
Are they all from Tennessee?
Yes, they're from a very small southern town, too. It's
you said you've been married 15 years, right? So
it's on the other side of the state from, so like, if my hand is the state of Tennessee, there's Nashville right there. My hometown is right here, and her hometown is down here. So we're like on the opposite sides of Nashville, but culturally, they're the exact same place. They didn't get it as bad as we got it in the 90s. Like, they didn't, they had factories closed, but they didn't have a big, they didn't have one single massive factory that left or whatever. But it's still, you know, pretty economically, you know, desolate there in a very small redneck town. But her family is like, I don't know, they kept their shit together. Like, I always used to tell people that her family is from, they're not at all rich, but like, in terms of affect and the way they are and everything, they're more like Duck Dynasty rednecks or whatever. And my family was more like Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. But that's kind of the difference. Again, the Duck Dynasty people are loaded, and my in-laws are not. They're very working class people, but they're like a core nuclear family that love each other, and it's wholesome as hell. We spend every Christmas there now, and like, dude, I make gingerbread houses and shit for like my sons and my sister-in-laws, their kids, my son's cousins, all the kids are there, and you know, the house smells like Christmas, and there's a Christmas tree. It's all very wholesome, and it's like, I was telling my sister about that, about us. I was like, you should come down there, because we do all this stuff, and it's like, you know, it's like, she goes, an actual fucking family, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it's like. She was like, yeah, must be nice, and I was like, well, you can come if you want to, but yeah, she knew immediately what I meant. It's just the type of thing that, you know, we just never had as kids. But so I love it. My in-laws are awesome.
Do they know your mom?
They've met. They know her. Yeah, they know the deal.
They don't really mingle. Your mom doesn't really.
Not at all. Well, again, the towns are like 4 hours apart. They, like, when my grandma died, my in-laws came and my mom was there and stuff. And they were both at the wedding. They've met. They'll say hey to each other, whatever. But they don't, you know, they don't really have much to do with one another. They know what's up. My wife's got some, my wife's family, it's a big ass family. They're all in her small little hometown, except for her, you know, like I drug her off to California. I always assumed they would for that, but
Well, you're successful. So right, that helps.
Yeah. That helps a lot. So yes, I think that goes a long way. Plus my wife was always the like, kind of weirdo in her family, so they're not surprised that she ain't around.
I see.
She was the one who was always like wanting to leave that town, so like they're not surprised and don't hold it against me, but it's a huge ass family in that small southern town. So I mean, she's got some, there's some wild people in her family, but her, like her parents and her sister's kids and all them, I love them all to death. They're great.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming and doing this, dude.
Oh, no. I've been looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm a fan, and when I first even heard you were doing this as a thing, I was like, well, I'm going to have to do that at some point. Well,
I'm glad we got you, bro.
But thanks for having me, buddy.
Before we wrap up, advice you'd give to 16-year-old Trey Crowder, what would you say to him?
I can't change anything, right? Because, like, obviously, I would try to save my dad, but all I can do is tell 16-year-old me something. So I think I would just tell 16-year-old me, buckle up, but hang in there. You've got the right idea, you know, like, because it's been a rocky ass road, but it's mostly working out, you know, the thing I'm doing. I mean, I have my dream job. I'm doing what I wanted to do. And if I, presuming that I can't use this power to save anybody or change anything in the past, then I would just tell him, like, you know, be in for some rough times, and but hang in there, it'll be okay. And look out for a blonde bartender named Katie at Crawdaddy's.
Is that where you met?
Yes, that's where we met. Crawdaddy's in Cookeville, Tennessee. So that's all I would tell him.
That's great, dude. Plug everything one more time, please.
A special called Trash Daddy is out on YouTube now. Watch that. Other than that, follow me on socials, Trey Crowder, T-R-A-E Crowder. TreyCrowder.com is my website with all my tour dates. Come see me on the road. Putting on Airs podcast. Listen to it.
Thank you again.
Thank you,
buddy.
This
was a great episode.
It was a pleasure.
I really appreciate you coming in. And I appreciate you guys supporting the show. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.